Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
To many people, the main item of the book of Romans is justification by faith. And the main item in Galatians is to be free from the bondage of the law. Although both of these truths are present in these two books, the real goal and focus of both books is something else. For both Romans and Galatians reveal that God's purpose or economy in justifying us and freeing us is for one thing: to make forgiven sinners into genuine sons of God in life. Don't miss today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Today we have a marvelous message unveiling the matter of sonship from both Galatians and Romans. And we also have Dennis Higashi with us today. Dennis, welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a wonderful program ahead.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be here again, and I agree that it is surely a wonderful program.
Dennis, in our Life Study of Galatians today, we're going to spend probably an equal amount of time in Romans as well as Galatians. What's the relationship between these two books that warrants us considering them together?
Well, I think Romans and Galatians are really sister books as far as content. They both reveal the matter of redemption very clearly, yet it doesn't stop there. It also speaks about the matter of sonship, which is the main point that we will talk about today. And I believe when we hear Brother Lee in his speaking, we will see the comparison of how they both are similar.
Well, we are going to focus initially on this matter of redemption, and particularly for many people, redemption becomes somewhat the goal of salvation. But actually, we're going to see today very clearly that redemption has a goal, and it's that goal that we really want to come to.
That's correct, Chris. We'll see that redemption is not the goal in itself, but there is a goal for redemption.
Let's join Witness Lee, Dennis.
In the New Testament, the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, these two books stand together for a special category. In this category, not only the redemption of God has been revealed, but also the economy of God's redemption. We have to realize redemption is one thing. Economy of redemption is another. Many Christians, when they read these two books, they could easily see the redemption. But nearly to all of us, the economy of redemption is still concealed there. We all can easily remember that in these two books, redemption is strongly stressed. Redemption is revealed, but we have to realize there's something else. Redemption is not the goal. Redemption is not the issue. Redemption is a process to reach a goal. Redemption is used in God's economy to bring forth something. What is the issue, the goal that God's redemption brings forth? If we read Romans carefully, we could see justification by faith only occupies the first 4 chapters. After chapter 4, nearly this word justification or justified is no more used. From chapter 5, Romans goes on to hit the goal. And the goal is the sonship. Romans is a book on how God makes sinners sons. In other words, how God produces sonship out of sinful beings. This is the book of Romans. Here you can see God's economy. God produces sins out of sinful human beings. This is God's economy. God's economy is not just to redeem the lost sinners. God's economy is to produce many sins out of the redeemed sinners. He has an economy, and this economy is to work out many sins, making the redeemed sinners his sons. It's very meaningful that the Trinity in the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Trinity is not for doctrine. The Trinity is not for theology. The Trinity is not for teaching. The Trinity is for God's economy. In this economy, He has two things to accomplish. Number one, redemption. Number two, sonship. Galatians chapter 4. There, the Father had two sending faults. The Father firstly sent the Son for redemption. And secondly, He sent the Spirit for sonship. Christ came to redeem us, and the Spirit came to impart life into us, to make us sons of God.
Well, Dennis, as we've spoken already, both the Galatians and Romans present Christ's redemption in a very marvelous, very complete way. Many Christians fully appreciate the fact that they have been redeemed, but they give it little or no thought beyond that point. But the intrinsic aspect of redemption is that there's an issue or a goal to our redemption. Dennis, what is this goal?
I think it's clear, Chris, from brotherly speaking, that redemption in itself is not the goal, though we appreciate it and though it is very necessary for us being believers. However, the majority of Christians stop there satisfied with just being redeemed, just being saved from eternal perdition. But both books of Romans and Galatians reveal that there is something further. Redemption has a goal, and that goal is sonship. In other words, in your opening statement, Chris, you made a comment that we are seeing that forgiven sinners are becoming genuine sons of God in life. And actually, this is the goal of both Romans and Galatians, that we wouldn't just be redeemed sinners, being saved from some place to another place, but we would be the genuine sons of God in life, enjoying Him on the earth today. This is marvelous, that we could be really sons of God today in life. I'd like to echo brotherly speaking again and again. This is a divine thought to see that redemption is so necessary, yet we don't stop there at redemption, but we see redemption is just the process. Mm-hmm. Redemption has a goal. Redemption has an issue, and this issue is that we would be made sons of God, not just in name, but sons of God in life, in nature, in enjoyment, in manifestation. In every way, we would have the life of a son and also the position of a son.
Dennis, as we fellowship about that, I think, let's be clear, we're not in any way putting down or depreciating redemption.
Absolutely.
Because without redemption, there's no way to enter into this marvelous process of sonship, which is the goal.
That's correct, Chris. Redemption is the procedure of God's salvation. However, sonship is the purpose of God's salvation. I think these two words make us very clear. We need redemption as a procedure to be saved, but redemption in itself is not the goal. The purpose of God's salvation is not that we would just be redeemed and stop there, but the purpose of God's salvation is that we would be sons of God today in life.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee, Dennis, and look a little further into this marvelous matter.
We have an organic relationship with God. That is the relationship of life. Yes, we are human. Not only human, even we are sinful. Because we are sinful, so God sent his Son to account for redemption, to redeem us, the sinners. But this is not all. After redeeming, God sent his Spirit to impart God's nature, God's life into our being. So what happens in our being is an organic matter. The divine life has entered into our human being. I don't mean we are part of God, but I do mean members of God's family. God today wants a family.
Amen.
He wants a people living as the sons of God. For you to be humble, to be gentle, you don't need to be a son of God. But for you, a son of God, surely you have to be divine. You must have the life of God, and you must have the Spirit of God. This is why in the New Testament, eventually, it brings us to this end. What end? The Spirit. You know how the Bible closes. The Spirit, and the bread say, come. This is the ending of the Bible. The ending of the Bible is just the Spirit as the consummation of the triune God. And the bride as what? As the ultimate issue of humankind. The Spirit is the consummation of the triune God, and the bride is what? Is the ultimate issue of mankind. And these two become one. Only the sons who have the organic life in them, this can be the members of the body of Christ. All the members of the body are organic. It's not a kind of a organization. Good people may be organized into a good society, but the good people can never be an organism as the body of Christ. This organic body needs its members to be all organic. By what way? By the way of rebirth, by the way of walking according to the Spirit. Have you noticed that in Romans 8, no humility is mentioned, no faithfulness is mentioned, no honesty is mentioned, no human virtue is mentioned. It only says, walk according to whoever is led by the Spirit is a son of God. It is not a matter of humility, not a matter of faithfulness, not a matter of niceness. It is altogether a matter of work according to Spirit. What will be the issue? Whether that will be pride or humility? It doesn't say. Well, of course, according to your concept, you would say, surely that will be humility, not pride. I think you are right. But anyhow, the matter is not the issue. The matter is the nature. We all have been born of God. Now, what should we do? Be humble? Be honest? What should we do? Just walk by the Spirit.
Well, Dennis, redemption certainly is an indispensable aspect of our salvation, and we really worship the Lord daily for accomplishing it. But redemption was accomplished 100% by the work of Christ on the cross, which was outside of us. If the goal of redemption is sonship, this implies something organic must also take place within us. Let's talk about this organic aspect for a few minutes.
Chris, I would like to make a comment in this way. If we use the word, we can see the clear difference I would say maybe the relationship between redemption and sonship. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 clearly show us that God sent the Son to be born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem those under law. That means God sent the Son to redeem us, and all genuine Christians believe this, appreciate this, and enjoy this. However, the divine record does not stop there. It also says that God sent forth the Spirit of the Son into our hearts. This shows the matter of sonship. Not only has God sent the Son to redeem us, but he's also sent the Spirit for our sonship. If God's goal was simply redemption, he would not have to send the Spirit into our hearts. If redemption was the conclusion of God's economy, he would just have to send the Son to redeem us, and that's it. But the divine record goes on further, that God has also sent the Spirit into our hearts. For what purpose? To make us sons. This is the organic aspect. This is the inward aspect. And Chris, this reminds me that even in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, the word says that we have been predestinated unto sonship. Our destiny is not to be in a place. Our destiny is to be sons of God, not only for eternity, but even on the earth today. So again, this proves and this shows that the divine record is really clear in God's economy, that God's purpose, redemption, is really the procedure, but the real purpose of redemption is that we would be sons of God in life and in nature.
Dennis, I'm really glad that you pointed out that verse in chapter 4 of Galatians about the Spirit and sonship.
Yes.
Let me read it exactly. We're going to go to this verse, at least this one portion, in our final segment today. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have to be his genuine sons before we can cry from our heart, Abba, Father. Let's go to Witness Lee.
Many Christian readers of Romans 8 don't see the sonship, the spirit of sonship, to cry, Abba, Father. Whoever is led of the Spirit is the Son of God. Not only so, in verse 29, it says what? It says that we have to be conformed to the image of his Son, that this Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren to Christ are many sons to God. In Romans 8, you do have the sonship. Now we come to Galatians. You could see in structure, the book of Galatians is nearly the same as Romans. Romans is that redemption is for sonship. God redeemed us that we could be sons of God. Now, in Galatians, the structure is the same. It says Christ accomplished redemption on the cross to be a curse for us. In order that he may redeem us and that we may receive the blessing which God promised to Abraham. That is to receive the Spirit. Then, in chapter 4, it says clearly, Christ was sent by God through a woman to be crucified on the cross, that the Spirit could descend to us, to bring forth the sonship. Only these two books, both say the same thing, that we cry to God, Abba, Father, by the Spirit. This proves to you that these two books actually refer to one thing, that is redemption for sonship. Then, eventually, what it says? It says, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. It is so good in both of these two books. It doesn't tell us walk according to certain doctrine, walk according to certain teaching, walk according to certain exhortation. No, Both of them tell us we have to walk according to Spirit. Regardless how you would behave yourself, if you would not walk according to Spirit, you are not walking as the sons of God. The basic factor is that we are born of God. Amen. And now we are the divine sons of God. We have the divine nature and we have the divine life. Now God wants us to what? To walk according to His Spirit as sons of God. What will be the issue? That is not our responsibility. What will be the result? That is the Spirit's business. But our responsibility is just to walk according to the Spirit. So the New Testament altogether comes to this high climax. That is the Spirit. Our life, our living, our behavior, our walk, our conduct, all together according to one thing, the Spirit.
Oh, Dennis, I think we both love this portion. Romans and Galatians both reveal that the goal of redemption is sonship. And the sonship that's spoken about in both of these books is organic and altogether a matter of the Spirit. Both books exhort us to cry, Abba, Father. And both books bring out this matter of walking by or walking according to the Spirit. Dennis, God's intention is more, as we've discussed, than just having sinners forgiven and going to heaven. He really does desire sons in the most intimate and living sense, doesn't he?
He really does, Chris. Even this term, sons, is a term of endearing or endearment. We are not just His worshipers. We are not just His slaves. We are not just His creatures who have now been redeemed, but God calls us His sons. And that implies, Chris, that we have the life of God the Father. We have the very nature of God the Father. And as proof of being sons, we can cry, Abba, Father. You know, Chris, it's easy for people to say, Oh God, when something happens, especially when something bad happens. And some may progress to say, Oh Lord. But a genuine son can cry, Abba, Father. Only a genuine son can recognize and has the deep subjective sensation within that God is really his Father. And how marvelous that we can enter into such an intimate relationship with God that we could really be the sons of God. I like this word, sons of God. It is not just a name. It is not just a designation. It's a reality, Chris. And what's impressive to me about this whole matter, this Abba Father, according to my understanding, at least this term Abba Father is mentioned three times in the New Testament. And the first time it's in Mark chapter 14 at the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord, a few hours before he was crucified, said, Abba Father. And then in Romans 8:15, we receive the spirit of sonship and we cry, Abba, Father. Then here in Galatians 4, the spirit of the Son comes into us and he cries, Abba, Father. This shows, Chris, something marvelous, something organic, something inward. This firstly shows that the Spirit and our spirit are mingled together as one. The Spirit is crying in our spirit. When the Spirit cries, Abba, Father, we cry, Abba, Father. And this matches the divine record in 1 Corinthians 17, which says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Then this also shows us, Chris, that the very same enjoyment that the Son had with the Father and the intimacy of the Son with the Father, we can enjoy also. Just as the Son cried, Abba, Father, that very same intimacy, that very same relationship, we can enjoy with the Father today. To cry, Abba, Father, is not just a term. To cry, Abba, Father, is a deep expression of our intimacy and love for the Lord. the very same enjoyment that the Son has with the Father, we can enjoy today. What a privilege it is to be a son. I'm glad we are really sons of God in reality, even in the depth of our subjective experience. In the life study, Brother Lee has mentioned that this sonship is realized through the intimate subjective experiences in the depths of our being. When we have such an experience, for example, early in the morning when we cry, Abba, Father, we are experiencing the process of sonship. We are regenerated to be sons, but we need to grow. And we need to be the full-grown, mature sons. And this is the process of sonship. It's good to be sons, but we can't just be baby sons. We need to be full-grown sons. And through the process of enjoying Christ and enjoying the Father in such a way, we are becoming the full-grown sons of God.
Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you, Chris.
And I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.